Israel, sister. Sunnyside, Kurrumbong, Australia, July 17th, 1896. Dear Sister Israel, I would call your attention to the precious promises in the Word of God. All who are children of God have not the same powers, the same temperaments, the same confidence and boldness. I am glad indeed that our feelings are no evidence that we are not children of God. The enemy will tempt you to think that you have done things that have separated you from God, and that he no longer loves you. But our Lord loves us still, and we may know by the words he has placed on record for just such cases as yours. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9, 2, 1. Now, my dear sister, I have evidence that God loves you, and the precious Savior, who gave himself for you, will not thrust you from him because you are tempted, and your weakness may have been overcome. He loves you still. Peter denied his Lord in the hour of trial, but Jesus did not forsake his poor disciple. Although Peter hated himself, the Lord loved him. And after his resurrection, he called him by name and sent him a loving message. Oh, what a kind, loving, compassionate Savior we have! And he loves us though we err. Now do not worry yourself out of the arms of the dear Savior, but rest trustingly in faith. He loves you, he cares for you, he is blessing you, and will give you his peace and grace. He is saying to you, "Thy sins be forgiven you." You may be depressed with bodily infirmities, but that is not evidence that the Lord is not working in your behalf every day. He will pardon you, and that abundantly. Gather to your soul the sweet promises of God. Jesus is our constant, unfailing friend, and he wants you to trust in him. God is at work, and Satan also is at work. Satan would have our minds drawn away from the mighty Helper, to ponder over your degradation of soul, and feel that all its powers are being wasted and God dishonored. Look away from yourself to the perfection of Christ. We cannot manufacture a righteousness for ourselves. Christ has in his hands the pure robes of righteousness, and he will put them upon us. He will speak sweet words of forgiveness and promise. He presents to our thirsty souls fountains of living water whereby we may be refreshed. He bids us come unto him with all our burdens, all our griefs, and he says we shall find rest. Therefore, if we come to him, we must believe that he speaks pardon, and we must show our faith by resting in his love. The heart is moved by all that is tender and pure and lofty, high ambition, holy joys, ennobling motives, endearing sympathies, and needful help. Jesus sees the guilt of the past and speaks pardon, and we must not dishonor him by doubting his love. This feeling of guiltiness must be laid at the foot of the cross of Calvary. The sense of sinfulness has poisoned the springs of life and of true happiness. Now Jesus says, "Lay it all on me. I will take your sins. I will give you peace." Banish no longer your self-respect, for I have bought you with the price of my own blood. You are mine. Your weakened will I will strengthen. Your remorse for sin I will remove. Then turn your grateful heart, trembling with uncertainty, to him, and lay hold on the hope set before you. God accepts your broken, contrite heart and extends to you free pardon. He offers to adopt you into his family with his grace to help your weakness. And the dear Savior will lead you on step by step, you placing your hand in his and letting him guide you. Search for the precious promises of God. If Satan thrusts threatenings before your mind, turn from them and cling to the promises, and let your souls be comforted by their brightness. The cloud is dark in itself, but when filled with the light, it is turned to the brightness of gold, for the glory of God is upon it. May the Lord bless to your soul these few words he has prompted me to write.